Okay, so we're on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We're up to the eighth line, the middle of the line, Vahadisnan. So we were, as we mentioned at the end of the day yesterday, we started discussing the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Chirka regarding how many meals a person needs to eat on Shabbos, three or four, and we're trying to prove from various Mishnayos which position is correct. So the Gemara continues with that. Vahadisnan, Misha Yeshlo Mazon Shte Sudos, Lo Yito Men HaTamchui, Mazon Arba Esrei, Lo Yito Men HaKupa. So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Peah that there are different standards for a person to be able to collect tzedakah. So, for example, if you want to collect from what's called the Tamchui, or the charity plate, which was reserved only for the poorest people of the community, you needed to have less than enough food for two meals. If you had more than enough food for two meals, you were not allowed to take from the Tamchui, whereas the Kupa, which was like the public charity fund, so there you needed to have minimally, in other words, you need to have less than 14 meals worth, which is essentially considered a week's worth of meals. If you had less than 14 meals worth in your house, then you could take from the Kupa. Otherwise, you would not be allowed to. So the Gemara says, Mani, who is the author of this Mishnah? Lo Rabbanan velo Rabbi Chidka. It can't be either opinion. Why? Because I Rabbanan chamei srei havyan, I Rabbi Chidka shis srei havyan. Because according to the Rabbanan, the number should really be 15 meals, and according to Rabbi Chidka, it should be 16 meals. In other words, if we're assuming that, let's say, on every regular weekday, a person would eat two meals, right? Usually, they would only eat two meals a day on average, but then on Shabbos, you're eating either three or four, depending on which opinion you're holding like. So then how do you get to the number 14? It should really be either 15 or 16. So who then is the author of the Mishnah in Peah? So the Gemara says, no, l'olam Rabbanan, really the Mishnah in Peah follows the Rabbanan. The Amrian lay my debayis lemechal ba'afuke shabsa achle b'shabsa. It's just that the Rabbanan will tell you that that meal that you theoretically would have eaten on Motzei Shabbos, instead eat it for Shalosh Shudos on Shabbos. So ultimately you get to the same number of 14. You're still having three meals on Shabbos, but you're cutting out the Motzei Shabbos meal. So the Gemara continues, right? The Gemara says, Lema Rabbanan Hivalo Rabbi Chidka. So now we should suggest that perhaps this statement again is reflective of the Rabbanan and not Rabbi Chidka. It sounds like from the Mishnah and Peah, according to our interpretation, that you know that the Rabbanan are correct. The Gemara says, no, that's also not true. Afilu Tema Rabbi Chidka, the Amrinan Lay, Mai Deba Islamecha B'mali Shabsa Achli La'orta. In other words, Rabbi Chidka could just read it from the opposite perspective. Namely, he could tell you, cut out your Friday meal and then just eat on Friday night, on at the beginning of Shabbos, you'll eat what you would have otherwise eaten on Friday, you'll eat for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, really? V'chule yoma demali shabsa b'sanisa musvinale? What, the guy's going to fast the entire Friday? You know, in other words, you're expecting him to not eat for the entirety of Friday? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo hamani Rabbi Akiva hi, de'omar asei shabbat chachov v'al titztarich labrios. The Gemara says, you're right. This Mishnah in Maseches Peah is really reflecting not the Rabbanan or Rabbi Chidka, but rather the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So famous opinion of Rabbi Akiva that appears at the end of Maseches Pesachim, where Rabbi Akiva says that it is preferable to make your Shabbos like a weekday and not need to be reliant financially on other people. What does that mean practically in our Gemara? What that basically means is that if it means that I have to give up, I have to forego a meal, so that this way I don't have to resort to taking money from the public charity fund, that would be preferable according to Rabbi Akiva. So in other words, what the Gemara is basically saying is that the Mishnah in Peah is not conclusive, because this person would prefer to not have to rely on the public tzedakah fund. In other words, that's why he's cutting out one of the meals, and that's why you only get to the number 14. But in theory, if a person was well off enough to afford an additional meal or two, then he really should be having 15 or 16 meals a week, again, depending on if you hold like the Rabbanan or like Rabbi Chidka. Okay, so the Gemara now tries again with another Mishnah in Maseches Peah. V'hadisnan, ein pochsin la'ani ha'over mimakom l'makom mikikar befundion midalit se'in besela lon nosnin lo parnasas lina v'im shavas nosnin lo mazon gimel sudos lema rabbanan hivalo rabbi chidka. The Mishnah is continuing to discuss the various standards of how much must I give to a poor person in different circumstances. So, for example, if let's say a poor person is simply passing through my town and he needs some food to eat. So the Mishnah in Peah says that I am not allowed to give him anything less than a kikar, a loaf of bread worth a pundion. A pundion is 1/48 of a sela. It's the smallest, one of the smallest currencies that we have in halakha. And that's assuming, the Gemara says, that the going rate of bread and a flour is that you would get four se'ah for a selah. So in other words, you have to essentially dish out, you have to lay out 1/48 of a selah or a pundion to support this person. However, if the person is going to be spending the night in your community, so then it's not enough to just let, to give him this pundion worth of bread. You also have to provide him with what's called parnasas lina, which we'll see in a second in the Gemara. Basically means you have to give him pillows, blankets, a bed to sleep in, etc. But the part that's relevant for our Gemara is the last part of the Mishnah that says that if the guy is spending Shabbos in your community, you have to provide him with enough food for three meals, which again would seem to indicate that we follow the Rabbanan and not Rabbi Chidka, because according to Rabbi Chidka, you should have to provide the person with four meals. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. La'olam Rabbi Chidka kigon di'ika suda bahadei da'amrina leha di'ika bahadach achle. Maybe you can suggest that this guy who you came into your town came with one meal's worth of food. So maybe Rabbi Chidka could still be the author of the Mishnah. He'll tell the guy, eat the one meal that you brought, and then we'll provide you with the other three meals. So the Gemara says, but hang on a second, v'chi azil bereka nazil. But then the problem is, if you're telling the guy to eat the one meal's worth of food that he brought with him, he's going to go home hungry. He's not going to have any food to eat on his way back. So how are we allowing that to happen? The Gemara says, no, de malvinon lesuda bahadeh. No, in other words, the case is that we're going to give him a meal on his way out as well. But again, that meal is not going to be on Shabbos, so it doesn't, it doesn't factor in to the number of meals that the person is going to get. So the Gemara wants to know, my parnasa selina, what did the Mishnah mean when it said that if the person is spending the night in the community, you have to give him parnasa selina? So Amar Rav Papa means puri ovei sadeh. You have to give him a bed to sleep in, and sheets, and pillows, and things like that. You have to make sure that the guy has a place to sleep. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Tanu Rabbanan, ka'aros she'achal bahen arvis, madichan lechol bahen shachris, shachris madichan lechol bahen batzaharayim, batzaharayim madichan lechol bahen b'mincha, min ha'mincha ve'ilach, shuv eino madiach. So the Gemara now is discussing, in other words, a person wants to clean their plates, their dishes after they ate a meal on Shabbos. So basically, the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, you can always clean your plates at any point on Shabbos. So I just finished dinner Friday night, I want to clean my plates for tomorrow, that's totally fine. I finished lunch, I want to clean my plates for Shalosh Shudas, that's all fine. The only thing that you can't do is once you've basically eaten your last meal on Shabbos, once you're not planning to eat anymore, so then it would be a problem of hachana to clean your plates. Because at that point, the assumption is that cleaning your plates is going to be used for after Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, avokosos vikitonios utzlochios madiach v'holich kolayon kulo l'fi she'in kevalishtia. When it comes to drinking utensils, cups and flasks and things of that nature, those you're allowed to clean all of Shabbos, even 20 minutes before Shabbos is over, because the Gemara says, ein kevalishtia. There is no set amount, there's no fixed amount to how much people drink. People drink all throughout the day, so even if you have 20 minutes of Shabbos left, if you want to rinse out your cup and take a drink of water or whatever it is, that would be totally fine. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Kol ha-mekayim shalosh sudos b'shabes, nitzol mishalosh poranios. If a person is careful to observe and to make sure that they eat three meals on Shabbos, they will be spared from three devastating tragedies that will happen to Bnei Yisrael in the future, namely, mechevlo shel Mashiach. Chevlo shel Mashiach means that the time period leading up to the coming of the Mashiach, where the Gemara tells us in Masechah Sota, and we know from other Mefarshim, that is a time period when terrible things will happen to Bnei Yisrael in the time leading up to Mashiach. Umi dina shel Gehenom, they'll be spared from the punishment of Gehenom. Umi milchemes Gog u'Magog, and they'll be spared from what we colloquially refer to as Armageddon, or the War of Gog and Magog, which we usually assume is like the war at the end of time. So the Gemara now gives Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara now gives sources for each of these ideas. So the Gemara says, "Mechevlo shel Mashiach, ksiv haka yom, uchsiv hasam hinei anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyah hanavi lifnei bo yom." Right. So again, the Torah uses the word yom as Dan just pointed out. Right. It uses the word yom here, and we know from the end of Sefer Malachi, it's the famous pasuk that we say for the Haftorah of Shabbos Hagadol, right before Pesach. Right. We say that eventually Eliyah hanavi will come lifnei bo yom Hashem Hagadol v'hanora. So you see that you'll be spared from all the tragedies that are associated with the lead up to the time of Mashiach. Midina shel Gehenom, ksiv hachayom, ksiv hasam, yom evra hayom hahu. There's a pasuk in Sefer Tzefania that references Gehenom. Gehenom is referred to as evra. Evra usually means anger or you know, some, so, you know, something along those lines. So that's a reference to being spared from Gehenna. And then finally, Mimlechemes Gog Umagog, Ksiv Hacha Yom Uksiv Hasam Biyom Bag Gog. In Sefer Yecheskel, when the Psukim are referencing the Nevuah of the future of the battle of Gog and Magog, it also uses the word Yom. So this is how we know that if a person is makbid to eat three meals on Shabbos, they will be spared from these three potential punishments in the future.
I just want to share with the group. My son taught me this Gemara a couple of years ago. When we make it our business every week to
eat Shalosh Shuddis.
One less thing to worry about, not worrying about Gog and Magog, is really a great thing.
We'll, we'll see. By the way, the Gemara is not done addressing this idea of being makbid to eat three meals. Yeah.
Rabbi, question. What is the significance, the important significance of meals? Is it basically based on the karbanos?
The meals on Shabbat. Well, I mean, there are a few different things. I mean, the simplest shot, which I think we already mentioned a few days ago, is that it corresponds to the three mentions of the word yom in the pasuk, right? In Parshas B'Shalach, and it has a lot of connections to the month. That's why we have Lechem Mishnah, as we spoke about yesterday briefly, right? So that's the primary reason why we have three meals on Shabbos. But also just the meals in and of themselves are meant to kind of give a certain sense of kedusha to the day itself, right? In other words, it's meant to, as we'll see in the Gemara coming up in a second, it's meant to infuse a sense of oneg and simcha into the days, which is, you know, usually associated with food, typically, that we try to imbue a sense of oneg and simcha. But again, the simplest explanation is that that's what the Torah says, right? In other words, the Torah says...
No, because you could argue that the three yoms have to do with the three services.
We have different sources for the Gemara's and Brachos about the notion of tefillah, right? The sources for tefillah, that has to do with either the avos or the karbanos. This is more associated with the man, with eating meals on Shabbos. That's how the Gemara's interpreting these psukim. Okay, so the Gemara now continues.
Shul that I grew up in, for Shalosh Shuddos, really never had a Shalosh Shuddos, but what they did was, for the third meal, they made sure everybody ate like a cookie.
So that's a big discussion in the postgame about what exactly a person can eat for Shalosh Shuddos. I would say like this: in an ideal situation, especially in the middle of the summer when, you know, the day is very, very long, you know, people will typically get hungry at some point in the day. If you eat lunch at 12:00, you know, and Shabbos ends at 9:20, you know, there should be some point in the day where you should sit down and actually have another meal, like a full-fledged meal. The truth is, even in the winter time, you should really try to do that. It's ideal, if possible, to try maybe to eat lunch earlier. In Israel, a lot of people eat lunch like very early in the morning on Shabbos. They eat like lunch at like 10:30, and then especially in the winter time, you know, this way you'll actually be hungry for Shalosh Shuddos. It really is ideal to try and have an actual meal for Shalosh Shuddos. This does, by the way, when Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, there's a big discussion in the postgame about how do you go about having Shalosh Shuddos in that scenario. But on a normal Shabbos, even in the winter time, it's really, really ideal to try and actually wash and have a meal. Again, if you're really like stuffed to the gills and you want to have fruit, you want to have a mizonos or whatever, so many posts can say that's okay. And by the way, we're not discussing this on this daf also, but having Malava Malka is also something which is significant. It's not mentioned in this Gemara. There are other Gemaras that talk about it. And actually, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from some of the Sifrei Kabbalah that if a person eats Malava Malka, that's the food that you eat on Malava Malka is the thing that will sustain you and bring you back during Tchias Amesim. Because apparently there's a bone in the back of our head called the Luz bone, which apparently, in Sifrei Kabbalah, it says that bone gets sustained from the food we eat from Malava Malka. So that's, again, this Gemara doesn't address Malava Malka, but it's also something important to eat. And again, obviously, what?
Shalosh Suda is the most important Suda of Shabbos.
They're all important because
it's truly, truly a meal for Shabbat.
That's true. That's true. That's true. You're right. Because, right, exactly. That's true. But again, all three meals are significant because, as we said, they save you from Gehenna, Gog and Magog, and the Chevle Mashiach. So it's important to have three meals on Shabbos, and it's also important to have Malava Malka, even if Shabbos ends at 9:30 and it's hard to eat anything after Shabbos is over, you should try to have a little something. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yishum Rabbi Yosi. Kol ama aneges haShabbos nosten lo nachla belimit sarim. Shenemar oz tis anagal Hashem v'herkavticha bama se'aretz v'hachalticha nachalas Yaakov avicha Lo ka Avraham shekasuv bo kumis alich ba'aretz l'arka, v'lo ki Yitzchak shekasuv bo ki l'chol l'zaracha etines kol ha'aratzos ha'el, ela ki Yaakov shekasuv bo faratzta yom avakin mavet tzafon av anegba. The Gemara says that if a person is careful to be ma'anig Shabbos, to enjoy Shabbos properly, he will get endless amounts of nachala, endless amounts of inheritance, of land, and the Gemara compares this to not to Avraham or to Yitzchak, but rather to Yaakov, where Hashem promises in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze that you and your descendants are going to spread out all over the world, right? Yom of Akin, of Tzafon, of Anegba, in all four directions. You're going to have, endless amounts of possessions of land. So that is the promise that a person gets for being Ma'aneh, for enjoying Shabbos. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Nitzel Mishibut Golios, Ksiv Hacha Vihirkavticha Alba Masei Aretz, Uchsiv Hasem Ve'ata Alba Mosei Mosejroch. Rav Nachman says that if a person is careful to be Ma'aneh, to enjoy Shabbos, they will be spared from any of the punishments of the Jewish people in exile. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kol Ma'aneg Es Hashabbos Nos Nilo Mishalos Libo Shene Amar VeHisanaga LaHashem Biyitin Lecha Mishalos Libecha. So the Gemara now says if a person is Ma'aneg Shabbos again, you will be given whatever you want, anything that you desire, Hashem will give you. How do we know that? The Gemara says Oneg Ze'ini Yodei Amahu. So we don't know, like, what does it mean to be Ma'aneg, to enjoy Shabbos? So Kishahu Omer the Karasa LeShabbos Oneg Hevi Omer Ze Oneg Shabbos. So then when the pasuk in Yeshaya says that you will proclaim Shabbos a day of enjoyment, so that seems to refer to the mitzvah of what we call Oneg Shabbos. The question, of course, is Bamem Ma'ango. What are you supposed to do? How exactly do you fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos? So the Gemara explains: Rav Yehuda berei de Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei de Rav Amar b'sav shul shel teradin v'dagim gedolim v'rashi shumin. You should have dishes of beets and large fish and the heads of garlic. Rav Chia bar Ashi Amar Rav Afilu Dvar Muad v'lichvot Shabbos aso areze Oneg. Even if you have something small, but it was specifically for Shabbos, that's also called Oneg. Mahi, what would an example of that be? Rapapa Kasa Daharsuna, small fried fish, herring, whatever it is. Something small, but if it's for Shabbos, that's okay. Again, these are obviously all examples of food. They're not like, you don't have to eat beets and garlic and fish to have Oneg Shabbos. These are just examples that the Gemara threw out, meaning essentially anything that you eat, that you enjoy, that you're doing specifically because it's Shabbos, that would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Okay. The Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Chiya Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMeshamer Shabbos Kehochaso, Afilu Ovid Avodah Zarah Kedor Enosh Mochalinlo, Shenemar, Ashrei Enosh Yasezos, Mechalolo, Al Tikrei Mechalolo, Elam Bacholo. The Gemara has a startling statement that if a person observes Shabbos properly, in other words, he doesn't violate any of the Malachos, and he does everything that he's supposed to do on Shabbos, even if his generation worships Avodah Zarah to the same extent as the generation of Enosh, the generation of Enosh, we know from Parshas Bereishis, was the first generation to worship Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that Hashem will forgive you anyway. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, this is part of the Haftorah that we say on a fast day. When the Pasuk says, Ashrei Enosh Yasezos, and then it says, Michal Olo, that a person is going to be, in other words, is going to be desecrating Shabbos. So the Gemara says, don't read it as Michal Olo, but rather Machul Lo. Hashem will forgive you for your sins of idol worship if you are observing Shabbos properly. And now the Gemara has a famous statement, right? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Il Mali Shomri Yisrael Shabbos Rishon Elo Sholta Bahen Uma Velashon, Shenemar, Vahi Vayom HaShivii Yatzu'um En Ha'am Lilkod Uchsib Batzrei Vayavo Amalek. Had Bnei Yisrael observed that first Shabbos, right, after they were told about Shabbos and Marah, so then no nation would have ever been able to overcome us, to defeat us. How do we know that? Because in Parshas B'Shalach, the Torah says that on the seventh day, Bnei Yisrael went and gathered the man, right? That was the whole sin of Dasan and Aviram. They went and gathered the man or they attempted to gather mun on Shabbos. They went outside of the tchum, which was an isser de oraisa, right? In other words, they tried to carry on Shabbos, and as a result, what happened right afterwards? Vayavo Amalek. They were punished by Amalek. Had Bnei Yisrael observed that first Shabbos, they never would have been overtaken by any other nation. And the Gemara also says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yishum Rav Shum Ben Yochai Il Mali Meshamer Yisrael Shtei Shabbos As Kehochasen Yad Negalim Shenemar Ko Amar Hashem La Sarisim Asher Yishmeru Es Shabbos Osai Uchsib Batzrei Vahavi Osim Al Har Kochi. And had Bnei Yisrael observed two Shabbosos properly, and again, we've already observed one, the first Shabbos, but had we observed two Shabbosos properly, we would immediately be redeemed. Mashiach would come instantaneously. How do we know that? Because in Sefer Yeshayahu, the Torah talks about Bnei Yisrael observing Shabbososai, their Shabbosos in the plural, and then right afterwards, the Pasuk says, V'haviyosim al harkachi, I'm going to bring you to the Makom HaMikdash. So you see that if you observe two Shabbosos, yeah. That's what it sounds like. Il mola yimishamrin Yisrael shtei Shabbosos. Yeah, Yisrael sounds like all the Jews. I think. Okay. No, I don't think so. I don't think it has to be consecutive. It just says that you have to observe two Shabbosos. You observe two Shabbosos properly, then Mashiach comes.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
There's always
every Jew in the world has observed two Shabbosos? Really? I don't know about that.
Yeah. What about a newborn?
No, it means people were chayv in mitzvahs. So over bar and bas mitzvah, I think. That's probably what it means.
Yaakov, they've got to all do it at the same time. How do I do it this week?
It sounds like everyone has to keep Shabbos at the same... That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Everyone has to keep Shabbos. Yeah, Mitch, what's your question?
Oh, you've got to find a technicality here.
Yeah, Mitch.
If they want to have an inclusive type of Shabbos, why do they include in the pasuk? You refer to just a
Saris. So that's the context of the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Without getting into too much detail about the context of those psukim, the Sarisim there is more metaphorical. It's a reference to the fact that Bnei Yisrael are like Sarisim in that they don't have mitzvos there. Right? If you look at the psukim there, if you listen to the Haftorah next Thursday on Shavasar B'Tamos, you'll hear La Sarisim Asher Yishmeru Es Shab Sosai, the people who are Ke'etz Yavesh, who are like a dried out tree. We're like Sarisim. We don't produce mitzvah, so it's more metaphorical in that context. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yehi Chelki Me'ochle Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, it should be Hashem's will that I should be among those people who are careful to eat three meals on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yehi Chelki Me'gomrei Halal B'Chol Yom. I should be amongst those people who complete Halal on a daily basis. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that really true? V'ha'amar Mar, Hakorei Halal B'Chol Yom, Harei Zemachari from a God. Saying Halal every day is terrible. It's considered to be like blasphemy. Why is saying halal every day considered to be a form of blasphemy? So the assumption is that because you're excessively praising Hashem. Because in other words, it almost seems like you're making a mockery out of it. Meaning the notion of halal is something which is unique. We say it on Rosh Chodesh. We say it on Yom Tovim. We say it only at certain times of the year when the Nevi'im told us to say it. And if a guy goes and says halal, every single day, it kind of demonstrates a lack of awareness about the significance of halal. So Gemara says, you're right. I never meant to say that the guy says halal every day. It means that a person should say psuki de zimra. Psuki de zimra is referred to here as halal. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yehi Chelki mi mispalim im dimdu mechama. He says it should be Hashem's will that I should be amongst those who daven with the dimdu mechama. This is actually quoted in the Gemara in Brachos. What exactly does that mean? So the pashim shot of dimdu mechama means that the guy daven shachris at vasikin. He davens with the sunrise and he davens mincha right as the sun is setting. Now that last part is a little bit up. Up in the air about davening mincha late in the day, or it could mean davening maariv right after shkia. There's two different ways of looking at that second statement, what exactly that phrase means. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barab, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mitzvah lehispal im dimdu mecham, that is the ideal time to daven. Amar Rabbi Zera Mikra, what's the source for that? Yira'uchim shemesh v'lefnei yareach dor dorim. So it's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that those who fear Hashem daven with the rising of the sun, and also the generations daven before the moon. So again, it's still a little bit unclear if that's a reference to mincha, because some will point out that it's preferable to daven mincha earlier in the day, because we have a principle generally called zrizin makdim el mitzvah. So instead of waiting till the very last minute to daven mincha, some might argue that maybe it's better to daven maybe in the middle of the day as opposed to at the very last minute. So it could be that this is a reference to maariv. Maybe the Gemara means you should daven maariv at the earliest possible time. Okay, v'amar Rabbi Yossi, yehi chelki mi meisei b'choli me'ayim. D'amar mar ruban shel tzadik and meisei b'choli me'ayim. Rabbi Yossi says it should be Hashem's will that I should be amongst those who die of intestinal pains. Why would he ever wish such a thing on himself? Because the Gemara tells us, right, in Maseches Ksubis, that the majority of people who die from intestinal pains are tzaddikim. So in other words, his point was that he wanted to be among the tzaddikim, even if it came at this terrible expense. And again, the idea here is, as Rashi explains, is that because they're experiencing these terrible yisurim, as we pointed out from the beginning of Maseches Brachos, all about this, about the ideas of yisurim, that the yisurim are meant to kind of purge them of any averus that they have. So even though they're experiencing these terrible pains, that would kind of forgive a lot of their averus. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, Yehi Chelki Mimeisei B'Derech Mitzvah. He says it should be Hashem as well. I should be amongst those who die on the way to go to do a mitzvah. It's like dying at the most opportune time when you're on the way to do a mitzvah. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, Yehi Chelki Mimachnisei Shabbos B'Tiveria Umimotzei Shabbos B'Tzipori. Right, I should be amongst those who bring in Shabbos in Tiveria and who let out Shabbos in Tzipori. What does that mean exactly? So the way that Rashi explains is that Tiveria was in a valley, and therefore it became dark very quickly, much faster in Tiveria than in
Tzipori.
What?
It
What?
Very easy. I know.
That's what I said. So, in other words, the Gemara is saying that since Tveria is in a valley, it becomes darker there much faster, so they would start Shabbos earlier, whereas Tzipori was on top of a hill, so therefore they would start Shabbos later, but end Shabbos later as well. So his point was that I should start Shabbos early and end Shabbos late, essentially. Okay, the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yosi, Yehechelki mimoshive beis ha-medrash v'lo mimamide beis ha-medrash, right? I should be amongst those who cause people to come and sit in the base medrash, who gather people to come to the base medrash, but I should not be those who tell people to go leave the base medrash. You know, they had people whose jobs it was to tell people when it was time to leave the base medrash. They had to go eat, they had to go back to their families, they had to go, do whatever. So he says, I should be amongst those people who tell people that it's time to go learn, as opposed to people who are telling everyone to go and leave and go eat and whatever. V'amar Rabbi Yosi, hechelki mi gabay tzedakah v'lo mi mechalkei tzedakah. I should be amongst those who are the gabay tzedakah, who collect tzedakah, but not those who have to now apportion and give out tzedakah, because a lot of times, as Rashi explains, is that you could have, let's say, if your job is to actually apportion and decide who gets how much money, so maybe your decisions could be biased or influenced. Let's say you have a relative or you have someone who needs the money or whatever, so you could end up making making an unscrupulous decision based on your own biases. So Rabbi Yossi says, I'd rather just be the guy who collects the money and have somebody else take care of actually giving it out. He says, I should be amongst those who people suspect of wrongdoing, but in reality, I've done nothing wrong. Amra Papa, Lididi Chashtan V'lo Havabi. Rapapa says, that happened to me once. He says, someone once suspected me of some Aveira, but in reality, I never did that thing of which they suspected me. Amra Yosi, Chamish Be'ilos Ba'alti, V'natati Chamisha Arazim Be'Yisrael, Uman Inun, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Avtilas, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi made the following declaration. He said that I had five acts of relations with my wife, and I planted five cedar trees, which is basically a metaphor that he had five very five children who were outstanding talmidei chachamim. Those are the names of his five kids. So the Gemara says, I have Ikov Vardimas. What about his other kid whose name was Vardimas? The Gemara says, no, Hainu Vardimas, Hainu Menachem. Vardimas and Menachem were the same person. V'amai kari le Vardimas. Why was that his name? Shepanav Domin Leveret. His complexion, his face looked like a rose. He had a very handsome complexion. The Gemara asks, Lememra de Rabbi Yosi mitzvas ona lokayim. How could Rabbi Yosi say that he only had relations with his wife five times, and that was it? He had five kids. What about the mitzvah of ona? We know that there's an obligation that a husband has to have relations with his wife, specifically after she comes back from the mikvah, even if there's no chance that she's going to have a child, right? In other words, that's just a mitzvah in general of ona between a husband and a wife. So how could Rabbi Yosi declare that he only had relations five times in his life? That means that he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of ona hundreds of times. So the Gemara says, no, Ela Ema Chamish Bilos Balti Visha Nisi. He says that there were only five times where he had relations, and then basically he was what the Gemara says, he was yivol v'yishna, meaning to say that he had relations a second time, because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Erevin that if a person wants to have male children, they have to be what's called yivol v'yishna. They have to have relations, and they have to have it again in the same setting, in the same act. So dafka, these five times when he had his five kids, that's when he had relations twice, but of course he fulfilled the mitzvah of ona in general at other points as well. Amar Rabbi Yosi, miyamei lo karisi le'ishti ishti le'shori shori. He says, I never called my wife, or my ox, but rather I refer to my wife as my house. We know from many places in Tanakh that the term bias is always a reference to a wife. We know that from the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. We know that from Megillas Rus, right, when Rus is referred to as Beso. And also he says, I used to refer to my ox not as an ox, but rather as my field, because again, the ox was the animal that would, plow and upkeep the field. Amar Rabbi Yosi, miyamei lo nistakalti b'mila sheli. He says, I never looked at my makom amila. So the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really true? V'ha'amru le'le Rebbe, my time akaru l'cha Rabbeinu HaKadosh. They once asked Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, why is it that people call you Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Amar Luhi said to them, miyamei lo nistakalti b'mila sheli. He says, I never looked at my makom amila. Meaning, if what Rabbi Yosi was saying is true, that he never looked at his makom amila, why wasn't he called Rabbi Yosi HaKadosh? In other words, if Rebbe was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh because he never looked at his makom amila, so Rabbi Yosi should have also been called Rabbi Yosi HaKadosh. So the Gemara says, no. Rebbe had an additional thing that made people call him Rabbeinu HaKadosh, which is he never placed his hand beneath his belt, which could theoretically give him an erection. Rabbi Yosi apparently was not as machmed about that. He was machmed to not look at his makom amila, but wasn't machmed about not placing his his hand underneath his belt. Rabbi Yossi says that the beams of my house never saw the hem or the edge of my garments, meaning to say that Rabbi Yossi, whenever he would get dressed or undressed, would always do so under his sheets, under his covers, so this way he wouldn't expose himself in an inappropriate way. He says, I never violated anything that my colleagues, the various rabbanim told me to do. For example, he says, Yodeya ani ba'atzmi she'eini kohen. He says, I know about myself that I'm not a kohen, but if omrim li chaviri, if my colleagues would tell me to go up in duchen, to go up and do birkas kohanim, I would do it, because he says I would never have the chutzpah to disagree or to violate the words of the chachamim. There are two different ways of interpreting this phrase. Where Rabbi Yossi says, I never said something and had to look behind my shoulder. The simple pshat is that Rabbi Yossi was basically saying that he never said anything negative about a person where he would have to look over his shoulder to make sure the person wasn't there before he said it. The other way of interpreting this phrase is that he never said something and then retracted his original statement, meaning to say that he would always hold strong by his original position. Okay. That was Rabbi Yosef, not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yosef, yeah. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman, Tesi li de kayim is gimel sudas b'shabbos. I should get schar, I should get rewarded for fulfilling the mitzvah of having three meals on Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Tesi li de kayim is iyun tefila. I should get rewarded for fulfilling the mitzvah of iyun tefila, of delving into daven. Now, the Gemara, we spoke with this Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos and also back in Maseches Brachos about the pros and cons of what's called iyun tefila, whether that's a good thing or not. The Gemara discussed that as long as you're not anticipating your tefila being answered from Hashem, then iyun tefila is actually beneficial. Amar Rav Huna Berei Rav Yehoshua, Tesi li de lo sagina dalet amos begilui harosh. I should get rewarded that I never walked four amos with my head uncovered. Amar Rav Sheshes, Tesi li de kayim es mitzvah tilin. I should get schar for fulfilling the mitzvah tilin. Amar Rav Nachman, Tesi li de kayim es mitzvah tzitzis. So Amar le Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Berei de Rabba, avuch b'mai zahir tfei. So he asked him, what is your father Rabba, what was he more machbet about? Amar le mitzitzis. He was very machbet about the mitzvah of tzitzis. For example, yom achad have a kasalas bedargo. One day he was walking on the steps. If siklechuta, one of his strings on his tzitzis snapped off. Velo nachis va'asa kamen lo rame. He wouldn't move from that step until someone came and tied back the string onto his tzitzis. Va'amar Rabbi, tesili dechichazina tzurva mirabana deshalem esechte avidna yomotav lo rame. This is the famous Gemara, the source for the idea of making a siyum. Abai says I should get rewarded because whenever I saw a young Talmud Chacham, a young budding Talmud Chacham, finish a mesechta, I would throw a party for all the rabbis. He would basically make a siyum. Amar Rava, tasty li dechiasa tzurva mirabana lekamai ledina lo mazigna reishi avesadia kamad lo mahafichna bischuse. So Rava basically said I should get rewarded that whenever these young Talmidei Chachamim would come to in front of me for a court case, so he would basically say that I wouldn't I wouldn't let my head hit the pillow. I wouldn't go to sleep until I could come up with a reason to vindicate them, until I could come up with some reason to find a schus on their behalf. And Amar Mar Baravashi pasil lele letzur mirabana ledina. He says I disqualify these rabbis from coming to from coming to litigate. My taima dechaviv alai kegufai vein adam roa chov aliatzma. He says because since he had such an affection for these young talmidei chachamim, he says that it's almost not fair. It's almost like I'm going to be biased towards them because he viewed them as an extension of himself. And we know, of course, that a person typically does not find any flaws or faults with himself. Okay.